Good morning, and a very warm welcome to this morning's podcast service, which is being led by our very good friend, the Reverend Jeff Ellis, interim moderator at West Park URC. Mrs. Isabel Dewhurst has asked me to thank the congregation for their wonderful cards, letters, and messages of condolence received on the loss of her beloved son, Malcolm. They have been of great comfort to her. A reminder that our harvest project this year is to be shared between two very deserving charities, Caring for Life and the Leeds North and West Food Bank. Please make cheques payable to either or both charities and forward to Alec Brownjohn by the 16th of October. Alec can also provide gift aid forms should these be required. Unfortunately, cash donations cannot be accepted this year.
Our call to worship. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Lord God, faithful and loving, we do not always feel like rejoicing. Even as we gather to worship you, our minds are sometimes distracted and elsewhere, weighed down by the burdens of our lives. Help us in this moment to find it within our hearts to rejoice in your constancy and loving care for us. People of God, let us rejoice as we join in the hymn of praise. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Our opening prayers. Lord God, we never know what the future holds or where life will take us next. We never know what is just around the corner and what the outcomes of things will be. But we know that whatever follows on from this moment, you are here with us, by our side, above and beneath us, entwining your life with ours, surpassing all human understanding. In this moment, bless us and awaken us to your abiding presence.
Amen.
Eternal God, so often we give up if something goes wrong or doesn't go our way. So often we are overwhelmed by our own problems that we forget to look out for others. So often we are consumed with negatives and endings that we lose sight of the positives and beginnings. Eternal God, forgive us for our self-centeredness, our blindness and our deafness, and reawaken your spirit within us.
Amen.
Let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Our first Bible reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, and is read by Ishbel Yerken, Church Secretary of West Park United Reformed Church in Leeds. In Paul's letter from prison to the Philippians, he begins by addressing the unspecified issue that has arisen between two women co-workers with unfamiliar names, who have been active in the ministry of the early church. Paul asks a loyal companion to help sort out the problem. What then follows is good advice and encouragement for us today on how to be and behave as followers of Jesus and so receive the blessing of God's peace.
The first reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Our gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, and is known as the parable of the wedding banquet. Once again, Jesus seeks to explain the nature of the kingdom of heaven. In this parable, the story of how people respond to a wedding invitation employs exaggeration by using a harsh and violent environment to make a point. In Matthew's account, we may see an allegory of the worst of Israel's past responses to the prophets God sent to them. This prepares the way for Jesus being possibly rejected by God's own chosen people.
Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited for the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
In our sermon today, I'm concentrating on Jesus' words at the end of the parable after he has told about the wedding banquet. Many are called, but few are chosen. What is the point Jesus wishes to make in this harsh and exaggerated story of a banquet, which ends up for some with uncertainty, rejection, and even violence? How would we respond when unexpectedly invited to such a feast? Do we perhaps have sympathy with the man who does not dress respectfully? What can we learn from Jesus' parable to help us today? As I have mulled over this challenging parable and its significance, my mind took me to a walk I made in September to Spurn Point, to that spit of land at the edge of the East Riding in Yorkshire that separates the Humber estuary from the North Sea. It is now only accessible by foot since the winter storms of 2013 washed away the road linking it to the mainland. It's a good 4 mile walk to the tip of this narrow stretch of land. It's a beachcomber's paradise. There's so much to see, including the ruins of military and sea defences. The pebbles on the beach tell their own story. There are such a variety of shapes, sizes and colours to choose from. Their surfaces have been shaped and smoothed by the rough seas. Many of them have come from the other side of the world. They have made their way there thanks to deep sea shipping, often needing to take on a ballast of stones in order to be stable on the journey to the Humber. Here they can discharge offshore their ballast of pebbles from around the world. I walked along the beach under the protective gaze and safety of the lighthouse that is there to warn shipping to steer clear of the land. I looked down, wondering which pebbles to choose to photograph or pick up as souvenirs. Some looked very attractive and eye-catching. What story had they to tell about their journey to this resting place? How had they changed in time? So many, but which ones to choose? Is this the type of choice that Jesus had in mind when there are so many to choose from? Many are called, but few are chosen. Surely it's not about our appearance and the clothing we wear. And what about the other question? Who is doing the choosing? Back to the parable and the context in which Jesus lived. Then Jesus was faced by the prospect of the children of Israel and their religious leaders rejecting him, just as they had previously rejected the many prophets. For those who refuse to come and ignore the invitation, are they doing their own choosing? They exclude themselves from being part of God's kingdom of heaven. Then many others are invited into the kingdom in the invitation which goes out to everyone that the servants of the king can find. There is a call to gather people from all sections of society, including from the most unexpected, from the poor, the nobodies and outcasts of society, and ultimately from all cultures from around the world, not just from the nation of Israel into which Jesus was born. A gathering of all shapes, sizes and types of people who turn up at the banquet. Like the pebbles on the beach, where such a variety called to come to rest in a new home under the safety of a lighthouse. Then why make the point about the guest who does not treat the event with respect? Why has he been singled out? The others honoured the king by how they came to this special event. What was going through that man's mind to dare to come unprepared and not change and show how much he valued what had been offered him? In this story, in its harsh way, is it a wake-up call for us? Do we need to recognise the difference between a wide-open invitation which we want to hear is for everyone, and those responsibilities attached to being part of God's kingdom? We need to move from thinking God loves us as we are and does not want to change. He doesn't want to change as we think. Of course he does. He wants us to change. When the invitation to the kingdom of heaven comes and goes out to everyone, there is still a need for people to change their behaviour and attitude when they accept the invitation. The grace of God is not cheap grace. The hard reality is that this generous invitation to be part of the kingdom of heaven which Jesus lived, died, and rose again for was made possible at a great price and for a redeeming purpose. Whilst the call goes out to many, those who choose to accept the invitation need to be and behave in a way that honours God. It is a case of God's love and invitation to the kingdom reaching us where we are, but then refusing to let us stay as we are. God wants the best for us with our lives transformed, healed, and changed. As in the words of encouragement that Paul offers to the Philippians, the invitation to the kingdom of heaven is both a time for rejoicing but also one to embark on a programme of change as we let God shape our lives. Then as God smooths out the rough edges in our lives, we can together strive to make the kingdom of heaven a reality on earth. And with it comes that preparedness to accept the help of others, to help us to learn and grow in faith and be of one mind in Jesus Christ. Like the two co-workers in the church in Philippi, who were urged to do so with the help of Paul's loyal companion. A challenge to us now, to carry on being worthy of being called and chosen by Jesus, as we continue to learn and receive all that we are invited to be part of in the Spirit of Jesus, to change and to know that peace of God in us. Amen. Let us respond as we reflect on this using the words of the hymn, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest."
Let us pray. Gracious and generous God, we come to pray not for ourselves, but for each other, for those we know and those we don't, for situations we understand and for those that confound us. The news tells us of trauma and heartache across the world, and we try to grasp the intensity of it all.
Bless, O Lord, all involved in their hurting and the healing.
We hear of death and dying, of grieving and weeping, especially thinking of Margaret Chester's family and Isabel Dewhurst and her family at this time. We hear of pain, scarring and disfigurement. We hear of anguish and confusion. We hear of those in need of help, and those who struggle to find it. We hear of the grieving and the sorrowful. We hear of the lost and the alone. And we know, Lord, there are so many others known only to you.
Bless them all in their hurting and their healing.
Amen.
Source of all life and giver of all that is good, hear these prayers for all these people and situations, and for our families, our friends and neighbours, and for all we care for and who cares for us. Bless us all and make us one in heart and mind to serve you with joy forever. Amen. Amen.
we share in the words of our final blessing. We travel the journey of life, but do not go alone, for God is with us. We travel the journey of life with thankful hearts, and God is with us. We travel the journey of life with each other and with God, who is always with us. God bless us and keep us safe. God's light shine upon us. God's peace be with us, now and forever.
Amen.